Well, we are in a teaching series out of the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. And if you're new with us today, we're in the third week of that series. And we're going to continue speaking about what God has been speaking to us about as a church. Because, you know, God wants to do amazing things in our lives individually, but he wants to pull us together. Come on. He wants to pull us together. He wants to unify us. And he wants to do great things in the world through us. But oftentimes we see our faith as something that is just individualistic or just for our kind. And when we do that, we miss so much about what God wants to do in us and through us. So I want you to know that God is for you personally, but God also wants to unify you with what we refer to as the church today. The Bible talks about the church being the ones called out of darkness into the wonderful light. And many of us in this room have been caught out of darkness of sin into the wonderful light of knowing who Christ is. And the Bible says when God pulls us in that community, we're to gather ourselves together. Everybody say gather. And you're gathered here today. And as you gather yourself together, God begins to speak a word of prophecy, a word of encouragement into you, what he wants to do in and through you and how he wants to bring life to you. So we're going to do that today. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn it to Ezekiel chapter 37. As Ezekiel gets another vision from God. He's gotten a couple of them from God, the vastness of who God is, that God is an everywhere at one-time God. In other words, he wasn't a God who just resided in Jerusalem, but he was also a God who could reside in Babylon where people were held captive. In other words, they were in a dark place, but God was the same God there that he was when they were living in Jerusalem. And I need you to know today, if your life is in a dark place, God is just as much there as he is where he would be on a mountaintop somewhere in a church service like this. So I want you to know today that God can come to you in the deepest and darkest moments. Come on. And God doesn't just come in those deep, deep, dark moments. He comes in those moments and then he begins to breathe a word of life into you, a word of hope into you, if you will so submit yourself to his authority, come on, and his spirit and begin to let him speak into your heart. So Ezekiel is speaking a word of hope into the people in this chapter, and I hope it speaks a word of hope into you today too. We'll begin with verse 1. The Bible says, Ezekiel says, the Lord took hold of him again. He took hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to the valley filled with bones, to a graveyard. He led me all around among the bones, and they were covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground, and they were completely dried out. They were hopeless. And then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak. Everybody say, speak. Speak. He tells him to speak to three different things in this passage of scripture. And today I want you to speak these things in your heart today, because these are the things that begin to bring life and purpose to you. He says, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says, the most high God, the set apart God. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. I am the one that sustains your life. I am above all and I have the final word. In other words, cancer doesn't have the final word. In other words, you know what? The relationship breakup doesn't have the final word. The loss of a loved one, death itself, doesn't have the final word. God says he has the final word. So I spoke the message just as he had told me. And suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body, they came together, they attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, and then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. And then he said to me, speak. Everybody say, speak.
Speak.
Ezekiel, speak to the problem first. Now I need you to speak to the God of the problem. He says, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into the bodies. In other words, the wind here that he's speaking to represents the spirit of the living God. And you need to know that you know what, when we call on the spirit of the living God, he can begin to add breath. He can begin to add oxygen to any dead problem in our life. If we would so dare believe and call on his name, and we begin to believe for his name's sake, he'll begin to put life in your dead situation, your hopeless moment, your circumstance that feels like it doesn't have another day in it. God will begin to speak life into that. If you'll so dare call on him, call on the name of the Lord. All of those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, is what the scripture says. He says, you know what? Call on them. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into the bodies. They all came to life, and they stood on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel, the ones who have betrayed me and walked away from me, that are in captivity now, but they've been laying here like dry bones. I just put breath into them. They've just come alive. And he says, they are saying, we have become old dry bones and hope is gone. Our nation is finished. But then he goes on to say this, therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. He says to speak to the people. O my people, I will open your grave of exile and cause you to rise again. And then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. God says he wants to do something about broken, scattered, dry, desolate situations. So how does this happen? And it happens in our life today, right here in 2023, the same way it happened to this nation who were captives in Babylon, and they were hopeless and they were dead in the water. It happens by us, first and foremost, admitting where we are. Notice this, that Ezekiel is the prophetic word that comes from God, the voice of God to this situation. And he says, Ezekiel, I need you to speak to the deadness, speak to the situation, speak to the dryness, speak to the bones themselves. He didn't tell them to come speak to just the people. He says, no, you speak to the situation. And what I've discovered in my life is until I'm willing to admit where I am without God, I'll never know what it means to have God in my life. And so he says, we need to admit where we are. We need to speak to the dead situation and begin to tell the dead situation it is not over until God says it is over. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And the Bible says it is not over until he says it's over. And so many people feel like life is over because the circumstance happened. The sickness happened. The heartache happens. The pain happens. But God is still God, And it can resurrect you to eternal life if you will so dare begin to understand you need him in your life to sustain you and give you this hope beyond your hopeless situation. Because God offers us a hope above all hope. And so many people are hopeless because they don't have their hope in the true Most High God. They have their hope in something lower than this God. It might be an idol. It might be another God. It might be a person. It might be a thing. It might be money. It might be self-help. It might be, you know, just common wealth in this life. And when those things don't add up and become what we think they should become in our mind, and we don't have a hope that is higher than all of those things, then what will happen? Our life will crumble and our life will fall apart. And again, God says we got to get a hope beyond our circumstances and situations. There's two applications here in this passage of scripture where he tells Ezekiel to speak to the problem, the dead situation. Look what it says there in Ezekiel 37, verse 4. He said, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones. These are dead situations. Listen to the word of the Lord. The first application is for us, the church. The ones who have become alive in Christ Jesus. Anybody alive spiritually in this place today? A couple of you, come on. It's okay. Ezekiel's church was a bunch of dead bones. You understand that, right? You're talking about an unlively church. God carries him to a valley and says, speak to these dead situations. These dead people, these people that are hopeless. And he says, you need to speak life into them. You need to begin to speak life into these bones. I think about that congregation. I'm like, how in the world did Ezekiel have the courage to speak to a bunch of dead bones scattered everywhere? They wasn't clapping. They wasn't cheering for God. They were just there. They were flat. And I'm thinking, what, you know, man, he had to be the most encouraged preacher by God himself that has ever been on the face of the planet. Because this is a no response audience. But the application for the church is this. No matter how dead a situation is, how far a person has gone, don't you give up on people. The church isn't to give up on people. Because God is for people. He is not against people. He is not for the sin of people. He is not for them being, wayward and off track. But the church's job, the reason we are planted in this earth, the reason we are still here, is to speak a life of hope into people that are off track, who are in a dead situation and believe that there is a God who can breathe life back in their situation. My friend, I can tell you all I want to tell you about the hope of God, the hope of Christ, you know what, that God can get it right. I can tell you, but until you understand and let God put breath, wind in your sail, his spirit in you, speak life into you, and you put your faith in him, you'll just sit there dead forever and ever and ever. But see, I have the audacity that if a bunch of bones clack themselves together and become living beings in a valley. And God gave Ezekiel a vision to speak to these dead situations, these dead things, and it happened and they come back alive. I've got to believe that God is still into resurrecting people to greatness today, right here in 2023 and doing it. He's done it in my life, he'll do it in your life. Why do we give up on people? I didn't say we support all their deadness. We speak to the deadness. In other words, a lot of times it's speaking, why are you dead? Why are you broken? Why are you in the situation? Why are you in that moment? And a lot of times we bring that on ourselves, but the church is to stand up for the righteousness of God and speak into those moments and not condemn people in their sin, in their brokenness, in those things, but begin to speak that there's a God of hope, a God that will breathe into that situation, a God that will resurrect that situation, a God that will begin to give you hope beyond your current circumstances. But a lot of times the church, instead of being for people, that they stand out and they protest against people. And there's nothing wrong with standing up for God and protesting against things that are coming against God. But the reality of it is we gotta be for people and believe that God is for people. And no matter how far off track they have gone, we have to believe that God can breathe life into them. There's personal application in this passage of scripture, and it's for the church. The other application is for us all. Is, you know what, is dead ends or where God begins to mend our broken hearts. In other words, when you get to the bottom, you'll begin to discover that God can be in the bottom where the driest place is in your life or in the barrel. When there seems to be not another gasp of breath. When you get to the end of yourself, as Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are at the end of themselves, because theirs is the kingdom of God. Because now they can begin to depend on the sovereign Lord, the all-powerful, the all-knowing. And so we have to understand that when we're in our darkest moments is where God can really begin to mend our broken situation. He tells Ezekiel, these people are in a dark place. They've stepped away from me. They're in a broken place. But Ezekiel, get these bones to admit where they are. You know, and I really think this is the challenge for anybody who has been exiled into a sinful world. Is to get them to see where they are without God. Because sometimes the sin of the world keeps us happy. Keeps us satisfied. And again, until we begin to understand that we've, as human beings, we have stepped away from God and begin to hear his voice like he called out to Adam in the garden. Remember when Adam and Eve stepped away from God, when they sinned against God, they went and hid themselves behind some leaves. God created them to walk with him and live life on purpose and permeate his presence throughout the world. But they sinned against God. They stepped away from God. They hid themselves behind some leaves in the bushes, and God come walking through the Garden of Eden, and God cried out to Adam. He says, Adam, where are you? Well, why did God do that? It wasn't because he didn't know where Adam was in hiding. He wanted Adam to see where he was. In other words, Adam was in a place walking without God. He was hid and not living out his purpose. And my friends, oftentimes we can be hidden behind the veils of things in this life and not living out our purpose. You were created by God, and you were created for God, and you were created to begin to express who God is into all this earth. And oftentimes we think we live for another reason, but we are the expression of God in this earth. The Bible says we are created in his likeness, in his image, both male and female, and we are to come together. We are to come together and express his goodness to the earth. But the enemy will do all kinds of things to get you off track. Sometimes you have to get to the bottom. And when you get in those places, God comes, if you will call on his name, and he begins to say, where are you? Where are you? See, when we can get people to wake up to their deadness, then God can begin to breathe life into them and help them come alive again. The Bible speaks of people being born again. What does that mean? Yes, we have all been born once. We're sitting right here. We've been born to the flesh. We've been born to man and woman. We are all living beings right here in this room today. But the Bible says you must be born again to the things of God. And the way you're born again is for the Spirit to come into your life and birth you anew. And the way the Spirit comes into your life, don't miss this, it's by you putting your faith in the God who came in the flesh. His name is Jesus. He died for your sin so that the Spirit of God could move into your life and begin to breathe new life into you. It's not a work you do, my friend. It's a work he does. But you have to trust what God is doing in the world. He says, where are you? Do you believe? Do you believe I'm for you and not against you? Do you believe I want you to have new life and purpose in me? He says, Ezekiel, speak to the problem. Begin to help the problem find a sustainable hope. And this sustainable hope is found only in God. My friend, I spent a good portion of my early years trying to find hope, just like many people around the world today. And I tried to find it in a lot of circumstances, a lot of situations, a lot of things. I tried to find it in relationships, self-worth. I mean, all these things we all work for, in health, in well-being, you know, and having a job, having an occupation, having an awesome family, you know, having an education. I sought all of those things with my life. And as a matter of fact, as I sought those things, I achieved many of those things with my life. But none of those things brought life to me like the Spirit of the living God. And it wasn't until I realized in my brokenness that there was no relationship that could fulfill what I was looking for. There was no amount of money that could fulfill what I was looking for. There was no state of health that could fulfill what I was looking for. There was nothing that could fulfill what I was looking for but God himself and him breathing life into me and the work he did for me on the cross. Until I realized that at 32 years old, I was just wandering around aimlessly. And hopeless. And I want to encourage you because, you know, some of us can wander through this life. It might take you 32 years. It might take you 68 years. It might take you 83 years. It might take you 5 years. But until you realize that God is the one that gives you purpose and a design, and none of the things here in this earth give me that same purpose as God does. It doesn't mean I don't work in those things in the earth, but my purpose is fulfilled in who God has designed me to be. And it's to breathe who he is into the world around me. And it's your purpose too. It's just most people sometimes don't discover that purpose because they're so busy having a hope so much lower than the purpose that God has for them. And God says, hey, you know what? Find a hope. Don't get stuck in captivity. I remember, man, I was stuck in captivity for 32 years. Stuck. I was succeeding at many things in life, but I was stuck. And that's where many of us are in this room today. Some of you are at your top of your game in the real estate business. Some of you at the top of your game right now in your business, in your world, but you're stuck in captivity. You're stuck in a place, you're saying in your heart, there's gotta be something more. There's gotta be something greater. There's gotta be something incredible. And sometimes you have to reach those heights to realize that those things don't give you hope. And when you reach those heights, sometimes, you know, you'll begin to look around and say, I'm as empty as I was before I reached this height. And what God is saying, man, you know what? I can speak life into that. My spirit can come and blow fresh wind into your heart and your life. It's not about having or not having. And there's nothing wrong with having. But if you're having and those things have you and God doesn't have you, then those things have you captive. Come on, somebody. And you're missing so much about what he wants to do through your life. So you got to get a hope beyond those situations. And I do believe that God blesses his people so that they can be a blessing in this world. I believe God will prosper you with the tangible and the intangible things in life. But he doesn't prosper you with those things just because, you know what, you have done something with your life. He prospers you with those things because he wants to do something through your life. Come on. And he wants to do amazing things with your life. He blesses you, the Bible says, so you can be a blessing. So you can spread his good news around this world. And again, I invite you into that because that's where real purpose is found, real hope is found, sustainable hope until you take your last breath here on this earth. It's when you begin to get true life in the world. Next thing is this, he says, speak to God. He says to the bones, breathe. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 37, verse 6, he says, I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. He goes on to say there in verses 9 and 10, hey, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breathe from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me. And breath came into the bodies. They all came to life and they stood on their feet. Then he says in verse 14, he says, I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. And then you will know that I am the Lord have spoken and I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. And can I tell you, God did what he said he was gonna do to the people of Israel. In other words, they left captivity. They were in captivity. God did bring them back to their land. He brought them back into that place, exactly what he said. But this passage has so much more meaning to it than just the physical nation of Israel. This speaks life and hope to all people. Because what he's saying here is, look, I will bring you back into purpose. I will bring you back into the position I created you for in the Garden of Eden, if you will so dare believe. I will put a new spirit in you. I will breathe life into you. The life-giving spirit comes through Christ Jesus. Life came to the first man, Adam, from the dust. Life comes, the second life-giving spirit comes through Christ Jesus. He's known as the second Adam because he's the one to come breathe spirit into you, breathe life into you, breathe these things. Call on the name of the Lord and let him save you and breathe life into you. Admit you're dead without God. Call on the most sovereign, high God and let him breathe life into you. He's got a message. He's got a Bible. It's not just an ancient book on a shelf. It's filled with stories. It's filled with hope. It's filled with life. But you got to read it. And you got to let that word put hope in you. It's not a rule book. It's alive. It's the word of the God. It's vibrant. It's here now. And it's full of prophecies. It's full of all kinds of things. But the prophetic message that God has given all humanity is, I am going to do something about the sin problem. And God has already paid the price on the cross of Christ. Don't miss this. And he sent his spirit into this earth through Christ Jesus to all of those who would receive the gift of God that he breathes both to male and female, the life-giving spirit of Jesus. But you gotta put your faith in that and you gotta trust it. I can stand up here and preach all kinds of self-help messages. And I can tell you all these applications, but the most important thing you can ever hear, you know what, is that you need to understand what Jesus came to do. And he came to forgive you of the sin problem. Listen to this. And breathe the life-giving spirit of Jesus into your heart and give you purpose. Call on the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is not a weirdo. The The Holy Spirit of God is the third person in the Trinity, and it is God himself, and he's life-giving. The Bible says that he's the counselor. He's the comforter. He's the coach. But what happens is so many people live a life apart from the Spirit because they haven't called on the name of the Lord. And my friend, Jesus came to show you love on a cross so that you could call on the name of the Lord and have the life-giving Spirit. But he doesn't give you the life-giving Spirit for you just to lay still and never do nothing. He brings you back. And he breathes new purpose and new heart and new life so that his Spirit will begin to spread around the earth. I love how this passage kind of comes to full circle when he tells Ezekiel to speak the message to the people. And he says it this way in Ezekiel 37, verse 10. So Ezekiel says, so I spoke a message as he commanded me, and breath came into the bodies. They all came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a great army. In other words, he says that we need to learn to gather ourselves together as an army of believers in this world and give ourselves to a bigger cause than we're currently just giving ourselves to. In other words, there's a cause where we're giving ourselves to God and breathing this life around the world. And the Apostle Paul said it this way. It's a privilege and an honor. He says it this way in Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 10. He says, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I just told you about those endless treasures. But he goes on to say, Paul says, I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysterious plan of God, the creator of all things he kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety, the unseen authorities and rulers in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so what Paul says, it's a privilege and it's an honor to gather with God's people and live out your purpose. And he says that God will begin to breathe life into you and give you purpose, but that purpose will not be found without becoming a part of the great army. So many people are trying to live their faith out in Jesus alone. And yes, Christ and Christ alone saves you, but he saves you for a purpose. And it's to gather with the army, with the church, to express who God is to the world. And the Bible says God gives a variety of gifts to the church. Don't you hold the church hostage with your gift. You get your gift in the church unless as a church, as a people of God, a great army of God, begin to express who he is to the world. It takes all of us working together. And the most selfish thing you can do as a Christ follower is hold your gift and not use your gift to serve the world. You want to know why God may not be blessing your life? I'm asking you, are you using your gift that God gave you? Are you putting it together with the local church to become an expression of God in this earth? Because God is for them just like he is for us. God is for you just like he is for me. But I have to put myself together. It's not that God is just for me. God is for us. I have to put myself together with what God's tool is in this earth, and his tool in this earth is the local church. Don't be selfish with your gift. Bring your gift into God's family, into God's army, and see what God can do. I believe there's miracles all around this room. I believe there's miracles everywhere. I believe there's a great army rising up. And my friend, it's not just a bunch of people standing and singing songs in great arenas and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the army of the hope of the living God offering mercy, grace, and forgiveness to the world around us and inviting people in. Come on, somebody. I think we should express all of our praises to this great God. But I want to close with this final story. This past week, one of our faithful servants, I had the opportunity to go Wednesday and sit and pray with an individual who went home with the Lord yesterday. But as I sit and I prayed with this individual, though that individual was in great pain, Mr. Steve Wiles, He was in great pain. He was laid on his bed. And we talked about him entering into eternity. And we talked about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we began to talk about all of those things were going to be taken away. And one day, you know what? God was going to resurrect and give him a new body. Though his spirit was going to leave here and go and be with the Lord Jesus at the final homecoming, God was going to give him a new body. We talked about all those things. But one of the things he charged me with as his pastor and the leader of a church, he says, Pastor, keep on doing what God called us to do. And again, he's one who invested in all the things we're doing here as a family and a church, moving across the waterway and all those kind of things. And he says, I may not be able to sit over there and see the final product, but I believe that God's going to fulfill his plan, and I'm trusting in that. And he just really encouraged my faith. He says, don't give up in this process. Let's finish, and let's finish well. Come on. I'm talking about a man who's laying on the bed. Now, I want to charge you with that church because he held his faith to the very end. And one of the last things is we prayed together, and there was several people in the room. Some of his family was in the room. We prayed together. One of the things he said, Miss Karen, you were there. One of the things he said to us, he said to his wife, Kathy, he says, right now, I'm at peace. He said, I feel the loving arms of my heavenly Father. It's as if, he says, I ain't trying to be weird, but he said, it's as if God is wrapping me up in his arms and saying everything's okay. Come on. Why do I share that story? It's because, you know, we're all just passing through. We're all on a journey. And though it's a painful thing to lose a loved one in this earth, what he understood, and again, we did another memorial service this past week, and what that gentleman understood also, Mr. John Singleton, was death isn't final. Physical death isn't final. There's hope in Christ Jesus, and they expressed that all the way to the end. It doesn't mean they didn't feel pain. It doesn't mean they didn't feel sorrow. It doesn't mean that we don't miss them, all of those things. But our hope isn't here. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, the resurrected Savior, and he's going to bring us all back together again. Get that picture in your heart. Come alive. Come alive, church. You know what? The days are getting shorter, but I believe God is getting better. And the best is yet to come. Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you so much for your amazing grace, your love. I thank you for speaking life into our dead situations, our dead circumstances. God, we're thankful for all those who are gathered with us today. And God, I pray for those who are hurting, those who are in pain, that God, that somehow, some way, you would just breathe on those situations. God, you would bring physical healing. God, you would bring mental healing. You would bring financial healing, relational healing. But God, most of all, you would bring spiritual healing into the hearts of individuals. God, there's some here today that appear outwardly perfectly healthy. But God, inwardly, their spirit is dead. God, I pray for life. I pray they would submit their spirit to you today, God, and let you breathe, the Holy Spirit, breathe new life into them. And God, if you would dare do so, God, begin to raise up an army of people that begin to breathe this good news message about a resurrected Jesus into this world. God, may we be a people who bring hope and healing to everything we touch. God, may we flow out of your house and begin to be giving life, giving water to those around us. God, we thank you for the prophetic message of Ezekiel. May we apply that to our situations today as we trust in an eternal creator. We entrust in Jesus. We trust in your power. We trust in eternity. And God, if there is one here today that has not put their faith in the finished work of Christ and his resurrection and what he did for humanity on that cross, God, I pray today they would submit themselves to you. They would believe. They would ask for your forgiveness. They would turn away from their sin, turn their heart towards you, and you would make dead bones come to life. My friend, just ask God. Say, God, today, I admit I need you. I admit I failed. And Jesus, I believe you are the perfection of God. You gave your life on a cross to forgive me, heal me, breathe new life into me. Tell God, thank you for the life-giving spirit of Jesus. And we pray this prayer today in his most holy and precious name. Amen.